11 players on one side, 11 players on the other side. A big piece of grass, a couple of goals and one ball. The aim of the game is to score the most goals in those big looking holes guarded by glove trolls.
He shoots, he scores, scoring the goals. He shoots, he scores, scoring the goals.
Hello everyone, welcome along to the League/Cup podcast this week. We're going to look at the four championship fixtures that remain and then some selected FA Cup games involving Football League clubs as well in the company of Pete Farris. Hey Pete.
Hello.
You're welcome.
Sorry?
You're welcome.
Are you welcome?
No, you are welcome.
Oh, right. So I thought you said, are you welcome? I didn't know what to do with that. Yes, I am welcome. Hello.
Yeah, you are welcome to the podcast. I said you're welcome, like you said thank you, which you didn't, so I don't know why I said it.
Yeah, we're beyond politeness now, the two of us.
Yeah, that's true. Four championship matches. It's a bit like everyone else has gone off on a school trip and they've been left doing normal school work, isn't it, I suppose?
Yeah, I am currently making a special diorama of the circulatory system.
Norwich versus Brentford, Watford versus Blackpool, Wigan versus Huddersfield, and Wolves versus Charlton. Then we'll have a look through those cup ties. Let's start though with the championship matches, and we'll start with that Norwich Brentford game. The prices, first of all, Norwich are 8-11, Brentford are 9-2, and it's 23-10 the price for the draw. That's priced up just about right for me, Pete, in terms of where these two teams are. Norwich is seventh with 43 points, a point outside the top six. And obviously with the lack of teams playing, then you think, well, you know, they should be there. But why are Brentford so big? They're above them in the table, 3 points above them in the table. I don't get why they're so big. I can see why Norwich are shorter because they're at home and they've been in better form. But, you know, Brentford are no slouches, are they?
No, absolutely not. And they've away from home recently gone win, loss, win, loss, win. They've been scoring goals, 3 at Millwall, 3 at Cardiff, and then they scored 1 goal in the loss at Huddersfield and Wolves, and their 1-0 victory away at Brighton. I agree. When I was looking at the price, it was an odd one. They're back off, obviously, they lost 2 games in a row, but first against Ipswich, fair enough, and then away at Wolves. But then, you know, they have got back onto it, and probably in the best way possible, not with ridiculous games, but tight, sensible victories. 1-0 over Rotherham United, 1-0 over Brighton, like I mentioned a moment ago. It's hard, though, isn't it? Because under the new boss, Norwich have looked really, really good. They obviously beat Bournemouth. They actually came from behind to beat Bournemouth, and despite dominating Cardiff, almost threw it away, but didn't, and won 3-2. So it's interesting, isn't it? Because it comes down to how do you want to play this? Do you think Norwich's honeymoon period under their new manager continues? Do you think that Brentford look good? Look good enough, I should say, I should finish the sentence really. Look good enough to hurt them. The other thing to say is Norwich's goal scoring at Carrow Road recently. They hit 3 at home against Brighton, 1 against Reading after that. But then 5 at home against Huddersfield, 6 at home against Millwall, and 3 at home against Cardiff City. So what we're looking down the barrel of here, Lee, is a game absolutely chock full of goals, I think, anyway. Mm. Now, often, you know, we talk about the overs and the under 2.5s, and is it worth playing that? And sometimes, you know, if you look at Brentford, you're looking at the 1-0 and the 1-0 as well. It can be an awkward market, because as much as Norwich have had games chock full of goals at home recently, Brentford's games have gone less so, but I think Norwich's approach right now is to be really open. Gary Hooper has been scoring goal after goal after goal and has looked absolutely fantastic. So with all of those goals that Norwich have had recently, especially at home, the fact they've hit 5 and 6 and 3, over 2.5 at 8-13 looks brilliantly, because when you consider it, this is a side who, I mean, they've done that just themselves in recent games at home. Over 3.5 is 13-8. And the other thing to say is, it's not exactly like Brentford, especially away from home, you know, even though we've just had a 1-0 and a 1-0 back-to-back in their games, it's not exactly like they're a side who go away from home and don't get involved in goal-scoring games. We've had 3-2s, we've had them scoring all manner of goals away from home recently. So for me, That's the best bet. The over 3.5 in that game looks like a wonderful bit of value at 13-8. But you have to, in my opinion, A, play Norwich. I think they're in that rich vein of form. They seem to be carrying on in this honeymoon period. While it may come to an end, I don't think it comes to an end here. But also, the way they've got guys scoring goals. Cameron Jerome, of course, has been in good goal-scoring form. But the man right now has got to be Gary Hooper. He has been absolutely loving it. A brace followed by a goal and another one, of course, the other day. He has been seriously, seriously good, Gary Hooper. Now, we all know how good he could be. He got the first, of course, against Cardiff. He got the first for Norwich against Bournemouth. He is scoring goals and looking really handy. And I know sometimes people like to have a little look at Bradley Johnson as well at 17-10. Don't think anything wrong with that. But Norwich 8-11. To be fair, with the way that Brentford are scoring, Norwich and both teams at 11-5. But Norwich appears to be going somewhere again, which is interesting because they started the season well, Lee, didn't they? Then dropped away. Yeah. But dropped away in terms of form, but never really went anywhere in terms of the league position. They seem to just somehow magically hover. You know, in Acme cartoons when they go off the edge of a cliff and they somehow just are sort of in the air long enough to give you kind of a uh-oh kind of look. Well, they did that, but then sort of land on the ground again and carried on. They've done really well, and it looks at the moment like the form and the confidence is high.
Mm. Let's have a look at Watford versus Blackpool. Watford are 2-5. The draw is 7-2, and Blackpool are 7-1. Rock bottom, of course. 4 points adrift of Wigan, and a full 9 points adrift of safety at the moment. Blackpool, 26 games played and a minus 24 goal difference. They aren't actually the worst team defensively on the road in the division, but they're not a million miles off, and they are one of the worst teams for scoring on the road. Picked up 5 draws on their travels. Watford in 6th position, 44 points. Again, another good opportunity for them to climb above some of the teams, or climb closer to some of the teams above them. Last seen beating Charlton 5-0 at the home ground, Pete. If they play like that again, they'll probably get a good result. But we say about Blackpool constantly, no one absolutely tears them a new one, do they?
Until this weekend.
You think so, right?
Yeah, I do think. You're absolutely right. No one really does. Leeds beat them minus a goal recently. Huddersfield, Reading have done it. I think Forest did it early in the season as well. But, yeah, no one really regularly gives them a battering. But Watford will do that. They hit 5 past them, much better than them. Charlton Athletic side at home. They hit 4 past Cardiff recently. You go back to the home form and, you know, Derby winning there is fair enough. Cardiff, fair enough in a way, so too Wolves, but they've beaten the poor side in Wigan, they've beaten a relatively struggling side in Charlton, and I say relatively because I don't think Charlton are that bad a side, although I'm not convinced on Guy Lujon at all. But Watford hit 5. We backed Ighalo the other day, didn't we, of course, to score a goal. He did. He's 11-10, got a brace last time at home to smash Charlton. You know, this is a guy who's been in really, really good goal-scoring form. Troy Deeney was on the goal-scorer list as well on the 17th. 4-5 any time for him. Togier, 19-10. But I think Odion Ighalo is the man to play there, the man in real form at 11-10. But I've gone big, yeah. I have gone big. 19-20 Watford minus a goal might not sound like an attractive price, but in my opinion, it is. I've played the race to 3 for Watford as well, because I think they're going to really get into the goals in this match. The race to 3 is 8-5. And I just think the Blackpool are done here, and I just don't think they're going to score. I mean, they haven't scored in the last 2 away games in the league. You extrapolate that into the cup, and, you know, it's been 3, I think, games back-to-back, although, you know, they've been to Villa, so I suppose in a way, kind of fair enough. And I think Watford are going to have their way with them. If I'm perfectly honest with you, that minus a goal, I kind of got a little bit, not struggly about it, but I was kind of, minus a goal at 19-20. You know, Watford went to Blackpool earlier in the season and won 1-0, but it's good enough for me. And I also, with the pace, the power they've got right now going forward, I was hoping to find a penalty awarded and score market, but not currently available. Might be worth going into your local Hills and ask for it. It was a penalty last time these two teams met. Matej Vajdra scored it in the second half, but I'd be looking at a penalty again. I just think the way that Watford play will be far too much for Blackpool, who I think can stay in a game unless people throw everything at them, and then they're done. That's 2-5. If you're looking for an anchor for your sixfold, get it in now.
Mm. Wigan take on Huddersfield, 7-5 Wigan, 21-10 the draw, and 21-10 for the Yorkshire side, who've conceded the joint most away goals in the division. Huddersfield 30, which is an awful lot, I think, joint with Fulham, I believe. As for Wigan, I mean, they're pretty low scorers, so Huddersfield don't need to be too worried. Wigan have actually scored 14 goals at home this season in their 13 matches. But seven of those 14 came in two matches. They had a 3-3 draw with Fulham and a 4-0 win over Birmingham early in the season when there was still hope around around the DW. So, you know, in the other matches, they've only managed to score seven in the other 11 games that they've played. Could be a bit of a low scorer, this one, to be fair. Wigan's home form is dreadful. I mean, no surprise, because, you know, they're right down at the bottom of the table, second bottom above Blackpool. But it's absolutely shocking, the home form. Huddersfield's away form isn't great, but it's, you know, they can pick up draws. They pick up points. They're beating Wolves and beating Reading away from home. Could they beat Wigan here?
Yeah, I think they can. You're absolutely right in what you say. I mean, if you want to look at low goals, 0-0 between these two when they met earlier in the season.
Yeah.
Wigan have won twice since August. Now, for me, that's not enough. Call me old-fashioned, but I don't think that's enough wins. 21-10. I mean, this week, of course, there's still real uncertainty over the future of Callum McManaman. They've lost, of course, a high court battle that they've had. It just seems to be one of those things for Wigan, doesn't it? Where it all just collates, all comes together, and they may well be done. I hope not, because I like the club. I actually like, outside of some recent things, what Dave Whelan has done with the club, to be perfectly honest with you. But they can't quite track that excitement, even get into finals, and it just doesn't quite work. It doesn't quite click for them, and at the moment, they're just failing. It's as simple as that. Huddersfield, you know, they're on the verge of selling former captain Lee Peltier. He was captain until, I think, October, when he was relieved of that particular duty. He's off, seemingly, to Cardiff. But Huddersfield's form ain't bad. Going to the Riverside and losing 2-0 is okay. Birmingham, with the form they were in, losing 1-0 to them wasn't too bad. They've beaten Bolton and Watford, albeit both of those games at home. They've drawn 2 all away at Rotherham. And yes, their away form is very poor. I mean, no wins since the 1st of October away from home. But again, you look at some of the places they've been. Derby, fair enough. Bolton, fair enough. Norwich, fair enough. Middlesbrough, fair enough. So the loss at Fulham, not good. The draw at Rotherham, not good. But other than that, their away games have seen them go to some very difficult places. I've played Huddersfield at 21-10 here. I think it's probably best in terms of advice to play Huddersfield draw no bet at 6-5. Just get yourself a little bit of security. Mm. And to be honest, I've actually played Huddersfield win and under 2.5 goals at 9-2. Match times goals, which you'll find just under the general under and over bracket. I don't think it'll be pretty. I don't think it'll be a lovely game to watch, but I think it'll be a vital 3 points for Huddersfield. I really do. I just think Wigan at the moment are entirely unbackable. And for a club I actually like, that's quite sad. But I think Huddersfield will do them this weekend. And I think the price is good enough to back them.
Yeah, fair enough. Finally, let's have a look at the last of the four championship matches, and that is Wolves versus Charlton. 8-13 Wolves, 13-5 the draw, and Charlton are priced up at 5-1. Some pretty big prices in the championship away from home this week. Wolves are 8th. A point outside the top six, and Charlton are down in 16th with 31 points. We've spoken about Charlton before, where they had that decent enough run, where they weren't losing many games, but weren't winning many either. They've stopped drawing, haven't they, Pete? That's four successive losses now, if you include the defeat in the FA Cup against Blackburn. And just before the draw with Cardiff, they also lost to Blackburn. So it's actually one draw in six matches and conceding quite a lot. We've already mentioned the 5-0 loss to Watford. Wolves, they're not winning every game by any stretch, but they're doing well enough, aren't they? Picking up enough wins to keep themselves in the hunt.
Yeah, there's some teams in some horrible form this weekend, isn't there? Which is why you're getting the big prices. You know, and some people, and fair play to them, you know, they approach games in the Championship and say no team should be 5-1 or 7-1 in the Championship.
9-2, 5-1, 7-1. I mean, but
I do genuinely think they're all opposable. Those fat prices, I do. Charlton have lost 4 of the last 5. I'm not the biggest fan in the world of Guy Lujan, as I've just said. I actually thought he would be generally around the club last week, but obviously only just got his work permit day before yesterday. So he'll take over and start doing proper stuff there. He's got a 44% win rate in his career. He obviously managed Standard Liège. He's spent a lot of time in Israel, where I think he won the Total Cups, and he did very well. But this is a different kettle of fish, and he's going into a side who have been struggling. I mean, they conceded 5, of course, at Watford, lost to Blackburn 2-0, lost to Ipswich, fair enough, 3-0, beaten narrowly by Brighton as well. Their away form, as you said, the thing with Charlton is they've not been dreadful all season, but they've just not won enough games. There was all that spell of draws, the fact they were unbeatable at the beginning of the season, but it was just chock full of draws. So they've actually not been woeful. They just can't get wins. And when you look at this Wolves side, they're absolutely flying in terms of form. I mean, they've won 5 of the last 6 games they've been involved in. When they've played teams who can't get wins, you know, the likes, for example, of Blackburn, of Blackpool, they've managed to get rid of them, managed to beat them. And they're just, flat track bullies is the wrong phrase for them, but they're certainly winning the games that you'd expect them to win. And that is exactly what I think will continue to happen. Now, obviously, Nwadiko was scoring goals. Edwards has been involved in the goals. Back-to-back games now in the league for Edwards, scoring goals 19-10 any time. Looks very, very good indeed. And again, the likes of, you know, Johnny Jackson's a cracker for Charlton. You know, Igor Tekele started the season really well. But with this one without goals, without big turns of fortune, and the other thing to say about Guy Lujan as well, and I do wish him the very best with Charlton. I hope he does prove me wrong. I never genuinely wish ill on any team at all. I hope he does do well. But he's used to going into teams that have got a good setup. In Israel, he went into a team that had a good setup, and all he had to do was continue that and try and improve on it, which he did. He went into Standard Liège, had been underperforming a little bit, but he went in. He had really good base and really good players, grew them again, gave them the confidence, and pushed on. At Charlton, who are a good side, who do have a good setup, but aren't quite at the same level as those clubs he's been involved in the past. This will be a different experience for him, and one I think it'll take a little while for him to adjust to. I've actually had a little nibble on Wolves minus a goal here as well at 8-5. With the way that away from home Charlton didn't score at Blackburn, fair enough, didn't score, I suppose, against Ipswich, and of course lost 5-0 at Watford. The last 3 away games would have landed the -1, and I know that Kenny Jackett isn't a big player for -1 games. I mean, only one of the last 4 back-to-back wins that Wolves have had would have won you that minus a goal. I think this weekend will be another one to do that in.
Yeah, interesting. There are 6 FA Cup games that we're going to have a quick look at involving some Football League teams. The other 10 have been previewed on The Punt with myself, Derek McGovern, and Dave Kellner. Let's spin through a few of these, Pete. Shall we start with your team, Borough, at Manchester City. City at 100-30 on, 4-1 the draw, and Borough 10-1. Manchester City have had varying degrees of success in the cup competitions against lower opposition. In the League Cup, of course, they smashed Sheffield Wednesday to bits 7-0. But in the FA Cup, they met them and had to come from behind to win in that match at home as well. Sheffield Wednesday taking the lead after 14 minutes, and they needed Milner to get a brace and left it very late. That'll give Borough hope, won't it? And Borough, those away performances of late, they haven't conceded a goal away from home in the last 3, have they, in League and Cup? I've got a little one of my nap selections I'm not quite sure whether to go for or not is the draw at 30 minutes at 10-11 here.
Is that the price in 30 minutes?
Mm.
That looks brilliant.
Yeah, it's nice betting. I was looking at the draw half-time, full-time City, but yeah, I think at 10-11 I could take that. Borough will go there and set up tight, won't they?
Yeah, I mean, look at the team that's been Man City's problem in recent years in the FA Cup has been Wigan, hasn't it? Knocked them out twice. But think about Middlesbrough. I'm not saying that Liverpool are as good as Man City, but, you know, Borough did push Liverpool a long way.
And penalties, isn't it?
Even longer with those ridiculous penalties. So they're not chumps. I mean, the one market I really like here is Middlesbrough +2 at 19-20.
Yeah, okay.
That's win, draw, or lose by a goal.
Yeah.
I think if they go down, they go down fighting. They're mm-hmm. a good side. They're going to be organised. As you quite rightly said, Man City had to come from behind against Sheffield Wednesday. There'll be a huge travelling Middlesbrough contingent going to that game as well. And let's be fair, they're a very, very good Championship side. Now, they're not as good as Man City because they're just not. But, you know, no Yaya Toure. You could look at, of course, his loss at the moment. You know, some players who aren't still exactly 100% fit. Look at me, I'm talking about Premier League. But ultimately, I think if Borough go down, they go down swinging. And I thought that plus two at 19-20 was really, really decent. The both teams to score as well is 10-11, which I've got to say I'd be very interested in as well. There's some good players in there, you know, players who have played in Europe. You know, Jelavusen has played in the Europa League. You know, there is knowledge in there. You know, Jonathan Woodgate, these guys...
And confidence as well.
Yeah, and confidence, absolutely. So the plus two at 19-20, I think, is probably the best bet. The both teams to score at 10-11, I think, is pretty decent. But I've got to say, that 30-minute market you've pulled up, Lee, looks really good.
Yeah, and what I'm trying to avoid is, with a few of the matches this weekend, is the fact that the big teams can bring on players. You know, in that game against Wednesday when they came from behind, I mean, the starting 11 was Caballero, Sanya, Kolarov, Mangala, Boyata, Lampard, Milner, Torre, Navas, Fernando and Jovetic, which is fine as 11s go. And they brought on Silva, Nasri and Clichy after the hour mark. You know, so when they need it, they can step up. But, you know, City and Chelsea, and we'll talk about them in a second, they don't rush anything in the first half. You know, they might score because of the quality and there might be a mistake, but they never rush to a result.
No. No.
Chelsea, Bradford. 1-8 Chelsea, 7-1 the draw, 25-1 the price for Bradford, who like a little bit of a cup upset, don't they? This would be over and above anything they've ever achieved, though. Again, I mean, you know, the same bet there, the 30 minute, is the other side of even money. I think it's 23-20. Might not quite be enough, but that's what they'll do. They'll go there and set up to frustrate Chelsea and try and stop them breaking them open. It's just how long it takes Chelsea. They went to Shrewsbury in the League Cup, didn't they? And it was half-time draw, full-time Chelsea. Against Watford, it was half-time draw, full-time Chelsea. And against Bolton as well in the League Cup, I think it was the same as well. Half-time draw, full-time Chelsea. So, you know, I think it's around the 100-30 mark, that. Do you think Bradford could hold out that long?
Yeah, I do. I do think they could hold out that long because we know with Jose Mourinho's side, if he gets the win, he's more than happy, isn't he? As long as he gets that victory, he more often than not isn't too bothered about how it comes. You know, I look at this. I tend to look at the same sort of markets in these kind of David Goliath situations. Both teams to score at 6-4. You know, you could play that, and I sometimes think that's a really good way to play this kind of game. You can imagine, you know, the Bradford players pumped up, ready for it, and throwing absolutely everything at Chelsea from every second that they possibly can, getting a goal, and then Chelsea grinding them down and taking it away from them. I also do like goal in the last 15 minutes as well. Again, you can just see the game stretching a little bit. You know, if Chelsea are 1-0 up, Bradford will try their best to throw everything at them. And if they do, the pace and the power and the cleverness of a lot of those Chelsea players will take them out. So any time goal, 76th to full time, I think is well worth a look. It's 7-10, normally a bit faster than that, so the traders have got there before us, but I think 7-10 is a good price for that last 14 minute market. I also quite like the idea of you know, of someone like, for example, Billy Clark. He doesn't really get too many chances, Billy Clark. What he does do, and I don't mean that because he's an attacking player, but what he does do is the goals he tends to pull out tend to be worldies. I've seen one myself this season at the Pro Act. 9-2 any time for him. Felipe Moraes, of course, if he starts, he's got links to Chelsea. 11-2 in that market as well. But, you know, as long as they start, I think someone like Cahill at 13-5, Terry at 12-5 might be worth a look. And I did try and find as well penalty in the game. We saw it, of course, with Chelsea-Liverpool the other day. But, you know, these Chelsea players, they know, especially the likes of Eden Hazard, they know how to be clever inside the area. And, you know, for that extent, Bradford City defenders will be slightly less.
Yeah, and they're so quick, you know, they've got such quick feet, they won't have seen anything like that in League One, will they?
So right now, that market's not available, the penalty, but it might go available before the game begins, and I just thought that was another interesting way in.
Yeah, it is.
Sunderland win, by the way, though, ultimately.
Yeah. That would be absolutely amazing if they didn't. Sunderland against Fulham. Sunderland are 4-6. It's 13-5 the draw. Fulham 9-2. Sunderland 20 points on the board, just above the relegation zone. They'd be fully forgiven, if that's your way of thinking, with this competition, that they could rest a lot of players here. Fulham have just got going, haven't they? Fulham scoring some goals. The three goals against Forest in the week. The Ross McCormack 35-minute hat-trick. He scored as well, of course, in the penalty against Wolves in the FA Cup, but got them through into penalties and then got them through into this round. They beat Reading 2-1 in between as well. Whatever the result, they could score here, Fulham, couldn't they? Ross McCormack, 5-2 any time?
I think they do more than score. I think they knock Sunderland out.
Wow, right.
I know that Gus Poyet, there's always the argument, isn't there? Does Sunderland want to use this as a springboard to try and get a win under their belt, to try and kick on and try and, you know, regain their form, regain their confidence and look toward more Premier League football? Or do they say, listen, we don't need this. Our next three games are Burnley, Swansea and QPR. Mm. You know, if he can take 6 points from those three games, I mean, even the game after that's West Brom, which isn't going to be easy, but it's another team down in the general area. I think they're 2 or 3 points above Sunderland, aren't they? So with Burnley, the next game, and I know it's 7 days later, and I know professional footballers should be able to, you know, get over it in 7 days, but where their focus is going to be, we don't know. You know, Fulham had a hell of a game against Wolves in the previous round, went to penalties, of course, in which they then won that. So, actually, I think Fulham are in a really good position here. The draw, no bet Fulham, if you want to play that, is a really, really good price at 3-1 for me. Mm. I think that's cracking. The both teams to score, we've seen a lot of both teams to score recently, haven't we, in Fulham games. 4-5, both teams to score, I think, is also very, very good. So there's a lot of really, really good markets and value in this. But ultimately, the draw, no bet Fulham is the way to play this. I think Fulham have more to gain here. They're getting themselves into much more championship safety. They want to try and keep that form going. For Sunderland, with Burnley, Swansea, QPR and West Brom to come, I think their focus might naturally be somewhere else.
The three remaining ties, they're all Football League ties. Cardiff Reading, all Championship. Reading 18th, Cardiff 13th. You'd probably say that Reading are in the better recent form, I suppose, including the Cup as well. Tricky one, this one. The odds are 6-4 Cardiff, 2-1 Reading, and the draw is 2-1 as well. Obviously played each other already this season, and Cardiff won 2-1 at their place. Reading were down to 10 men, actually, weren't they? Pearce had a nightmare, didn't he? He scored an own goal, Alex Pearce, and then got himself sent off as well. One not to remember for him, that one.
Yep, but he'll get a third chance to remember it, because I think it's going to be a draw this.
Right.
2-1. You said yourself it's a hard one to call. If I had to go somewhere, it would be on the X. The overs goals could be interesting, but then you're having to look at 2-all, 3-all, 4-all, aren't you? Over 2.5 at 4-5. But Cardiff, you know, you can see what they're doing at the moment. They're trying to strengthen going forward. I think Russell Slade's not happy with his attacking options. You look at them at home as well. They've not been phenomenal. Yes, they beat Colchester in the cup. They scraped, you know, say scraped. They were 1-0 for quite a long time against Fulham. And some good sides, Brentford, Watford recently have been there. And it's been a lot of 2-1s and a lot of both teams to score. So I think the bet I'd like the most would be the both teams to score in that, 13-20. But this, for me, it is a hard one to call, and it is straight down the barrel at the 2-1 lead. This was the one that I kind of went, oh, I don't know.
There's plenty of others to bet on. Preston, Sheffield United, all League One. Preston 4th, Sheffield United 7th. There are 11 points between the two sides. Already played each other twice this season as well. So you've got a bit of kind of collateral form to go on. Sheffield won 2-1 at Bramall Lane on the 10th of January, so not too long ago. In fact, Preston just got a very late consolation to stop them being nilled there. It was 1-1 at Deepdale in August. In fact, you know, it's one of those fixtures where you can kind of look back at some of the head-to-heads recent years, because they've been playing each other so much. 2-1, 1-1, 0-0, 0-1, 0-0, 0-1, 2-1. Close matches.
Close matches, but I think this is Preston's. Their form has dropped away a little bit of late, if you include, for example, the JPT. If you don't, their league form has seen just, what, one loss in the last 9 or 10. They've been really, really good, Preston, generally speaking. They're a good side, but they've been a little unconvincing. The one thing that really sways this for me is what Nigel Clough has said. Obviously, they play this game on Saturday, and then the Wednesday game, of course, is going to play Spurs again in the semi-final to try and get to Wembley of the League Cup. And in that, of course, they are only a goal down through the Andros Townsend penalty. And I've just been listening to the radio this morning, in which Nigel Clough has said, well, our focus would have to be on the game on Wednesday.
Yeah.
So you put that. Secondly, a lot of Preston players were very unhappy after that 2-1 loss to Sheffield United, which in terms of Sheffield United's league season, I think is arguably, from what I can gather, their most important result of the season so far, because they were starting to improve and they needed a win over a team around them to seal that, and they got that. So Preston's players will be fired up and ready for it. But ultimately, when you've got a manager coming out and saying, our focus isn't on this game, it's on the Wednesday night game, you know, playing Spurs to get to Wembley, where do you think the brains are going to be? Where do you think the minds are going to be? Preston, odds against, I was surprised. I thought there'd be narrow odds on, so 11 to 10 is delicious.
And finally, the team that you cover week in, week out, Chesterfield away at Derby, the FA Cup's becoming a bit of an odyssey for Chesterfield, isn't it? After the original tie with the MK Dons was ordered to be replayed because of the ineligible player, then the draw with Scunthorpe United, then the extra time in the replay as well. Chesterfield's name's on the cup here, isn't it?
All money in the pocket, Lee. All money in my pocket. I genuinely think Chesterfield are too big a price here at 5-1.
Right.
Okay. I'm not just saying it because I cover them. I really think they're far too big a price. They've lost Gary Roberts to injury, which is a huge loss for them. At the moment, they're keeping hold of their better players, or their players are certainly getting looked at, the likes of Owen Doyle, for example, English football's top goal scorer, Sam Morsy, Jimmy Ryan, Charlie Raglan, all being linked with moves away. But at the moment, they've got everyone together. No one's gone anywhere. It's a really, really tight-knit camp. They're a side, if they don't go up this season, have a look at your prices for them to go up next, because they are going to be close. They're a really tight-knit, wonderful side to watch. And I'm not just saying it, they really are. But on top of that, look at Derby. What is Derby's focus this season? What keeps Steve McLaren in a job at Derby this season?
Everything's Premier League. You'll probably see that when I was there a few weeks ago, I mentioned before, and all they talk about is Premier League, how disappointed they were to miss out, and it's everything's Premier League. I mean, it feels like a Premier League club, Pete. You're absolutely right there.
Now, Steve McLaren has said we're not going to underestimate Chesterfield, and I don't think they are. It's a local derby, don't forget. There's only 20 or so miles between the two stadiums. But also, you know, they weren't great against Forest. I was watching the game in the Swindon press room, and they weren't great against Forest in that game. And even though they've been winning some games recently, they haven't been massively convincing since they beat Birmingham. I mean, the 2-0 win over Leeds, the 1-0 victory over Ipswich, to be fair, was a great result. But they weren't. When I'm punting on teams or watching teams, there's a level of conviction, isn't there? And I've not had that from Derby in recent weeks. Chesterfield will fly at them. They will not fear Derby at all. They've pushed, for example, albeit not as good a Championship side, but Huddersfield in the Cup this season. They have looked sharp. They look dangerous. The best way to play this, for me, is the handicap markets, and it's +2 Chesterfield at 4-9. Because if they go down, Paul Cook, there's a really good stat that Paul Cook has lost, I think, only 4 or 5 times, certainly in the last 2 years, by more than a goal as Chesterfield manager. If they lose, they do not go down by more than a goal. It's incredibly rare. 4-9 +2 goals. The draw no bet is 100-30, Chesterfield as well. And if you think that Chesterfield are just going to have one of those seasons where they keep playing more and more FA Cup football, then your 13-5 draw is also there for you as well. But they're one of the best big prices of the weekend. They are. And people can think I'm just saying it if they want. That's fine. That's honestly fine. But I'm not. They are one of the best prices this weekend at 5-1. Because where Derby's mind will be, where Chesterfield's mind will be, and the abilities do not add up in total in a formula that comes to Chesterfield being 5-1 in this game. Yeah. Derby should be fabs. Of course they should. They're an exceptional Championship side. But 5-1 for me is a bit big for Chesterfield, to be honest.
Yeah, and if you look back to the Southport game, Derby had Southport in the last round. They won 1-0, and the goal came in the 90th minute. Penalty from, you guessed it, Chris Martin, who was brought on as a sub. Steve McLaren made 9 changes to the team that beat Leeds the previous game. So, you know,
he's already said he won't do that this time,
though. Yeah, well, we'll see, won't we? Might not be 9, might be 7. But I think, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if he weakens down enough to give Chesterfield a little bit of a, you know, another percentage, if you like, on the pitch. Pete, nap time.
God.
The standings.
I can't get a break, Lee.
I know.
Really
it's a killer, isn't it? I'm the same as you, really. You're on minus 80. I'm on minus 41. Sam is. He won again, though, do you know? He had. Oh, no, he didn't. No, he didn't. I tell a lie.
Good.
Do you know why he didn't? He tried to be clever.
Good.
I tell you what he had last week, and he had Cheltenham versus Morecambe under 2 goals at 7-4, not under 2.5. It was a 1-1 draw, so it would have landed the under 2.5. He went for under 2, so we all lost last week.
What?
Yeah.
I didn't even know that market existed.
Yeah, you know, if you go into the goals markets, if you go into goals, there's... You can have the standard over-under, but you can have the kind of... I can't remember what they call it now, but it's actually under one, under two. It's under... It's the name of the bet is under, exactly, over. So you can have under two, exactly two, or over two.
Oh, right, yeah.
Yeah, you'll have seen it, but it's just, why would you ever go for it when there's under 2.5, I guess? But yeah, so yeah, we all lost. So Sam's on £73.50. What are you going for then?
Oh... I'm going to go for Preston on the outright. Sheffield United have a massive game on the Wednesday.
Yeah, huge, I think that's a
game
fair price
to get them to Wembley.
Yeah.
On top of that, their manager's come out and said, naturally, our focus is probably more on Wednesday than it is on Saturday. This is a man who's also got to try and juggle what is demanded of them, which is a League One campaign. And if he can get to the League Cup final, they'll have that, and they'll have plenty of time then to chase up League One promotion if they can get it. So all of that on top of them obviously trying to strengthen in some areas, like Sir John Brayford, I think Preston at 11 to 10 is a really good price. Basically, if a manager comes out and says we're not really focusing on this game,
take notice of that. Yeah, totally agree with that. And I'll go for the draw at 30 minutes, which is 17 to 20. I thought it was 10 to 11, but it's 17 to 20, the draw at 30 minutes between Manchester City and Middlesbrough. You can download Sam Ashu's thoughts on the League One, League Two programme, which is pretty much intact, in the same places as this one. It's available at williamhill.com/podcast, the72.co.uk, also on Audio Boom, and if you subscribe via iTunes by typing in William Hill Football Podcasts, then you'll get them delivered to your phone, your tablet, or your PC every single week. Thanks, Pete. Have a good weekend.
Cheers, Lee. Thanks, everyone.
Cheers, mate. If you're having a bet on any of the FA Cup or Championship action this weekend, then very best of luck.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.